Hello everyone, Wilhelm Hast here with the podcast Winning the Game. As you know, I love to teach and share principles and perspectives that empower leaders to thrive in life, do really good at work without the stress and burnout, and also create the life they love outside of work. And today I have a guest here, Fiona Jacob. Welcome.
Thank you, Wilhelm. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. And this episode is going to be longer today, not the normal 5-7 minutes. We'll expand the time we need to dive into a super interesting topic. The background is I had a time in about 2011 when I started to look for the next level of training for myself. I've always loved being a learner and to study and learn professionally. And it was a time when I was kind of doing well, but I felt now time to get some new inputs. And I looked around in Sweden, where I mostly lived and worked at the time. And then everything kind of looked the same repackaged leadership stuff that I've been studying for 15, 20 years already, right? But then I came across a couple of videos of trainers that were speaking in a way that sounded so different. There were a number of people licensed to teach the same kind of teaching, but they all sounded very personal. They sounded like they owned what they were speaking about. And I loved their exploratory approach to what they were teaching. It's like they were looking while they were speaking to discover more about this topic. And the topic was super interesting. It was the nature of human experience. What is that? Well, they had found some key principles that explained and created clarity to the fact that our experience as human beings has a certain design to it. Whether we experience joy or sadness, happiness or frustration, you know, connectedness or being disconnected, it's the same mechanics that create the human experience all the time. So I got really interested in that. I went to London, I think it was 6 times, for long weekends over the year. I spent another year in London with different teachers flying in and got certified in this. You and I met 2014 at a training that ended up being 18 months long, where we were in Boston, I think 5 times, for 4-day trainings each time. So we went deeper and deeper and deeper into this understanding of the human experience. Fee, as you're always called, and named Fiona, shortly about yourself and how you came into this understanding.
Well, I came into this understanding in probably a little bit of an unusual way. I had already decided to be a coach, and I had probably jumped on the academic route of being a coach, going to Henley Business School in the UK, which is a fantastic master's program in coaching. What I noticed, though, was the impact I wanted to have with my clients, I wasn't having. I didn't see transformations. I didn't see the huge changes that I had seen in myself and really, really wanted for my clients. And one evening, I was just sitting with a colleague in the Henley Bar, which happens to be in part of the university, and we were having a glass of wine together. And he said, "You know what, Fiona? I will give all of this up tomorrow to do this other coach training in the United States with a guy called Michael Neal." And I went, "Who's Michael Neal?" Never heard of him. Meant to be one of the world's greatest coaches, he said. So I remember going back to my dorm room that night in the university. And I'm trying to think, did we have Google in those days? Because this is a long time ago. But it might have been an Ask Jeeves. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I got hold of Michael's radio show and I listened. And just like you pointed to, there was an authenticity and looking in the moment, like fresh, looking to wisdom and clarity, looking to creative solutions in the moment that absolutely intrigued me. So by the time the next 24 hours had happened, I was signed up for the program. I was on my way to New York for 6 weekends in 2010, flying from Saudi Arabia, which was no small feat, to spend 4 days in this training for myself. And I've been exploring this. It's not even an approach to life, but looking at what are the fundamental principles about how human beings work. And how does that help us live an even nicer life? How does it help us to thrive? How does that help us to be more creative and take action in the world, but not from a doing perspective, but actually from an inspired perspective, being on purpose, being a creative being, and living from that space. So that's how I, you could call it, fell into or was invited into this space originally. And I love this conversation so much that I've hung around in it and still hang around in it to this day with these great teachers and mentors that are in my life, including my husband, who's a great teacher and mentor too.
Thank you. Yes, we are also married, right? So that might come across in these interviews. We do quite a bit of teaching, coaching together. You also have your separate coaching practice where all the clients you coach, I don't know many of them, and then it's a great life, basically. And what fascinates me with this, let's call it an understanding or perspective, that it's still coming more and more clear to me how these principles behind the human experience works. In the beginning, I was trained, it was three principles. They were called thought, consciousness, and mind, and it sounded a bit complicated and psychological. And now I think of it like there are three facts about human beings that are really interesting to dive into. And this podcast, I'll ask you quite a bit of questions about how you see this. Next podcast episode, you'll probably ask me more questions and I'll give my take on it, because I love how different this teaching can sound from different people, yet pointing back to the same core principles. Nowadays, I often speak like it's a fact that human beings think, we have thoughts. It's a fact that human beings have feelings, we feel stuff. And there is also a fact that beyond the thought-feeling thought storms and emotional storms in the moment, we recognize a space where there is some power of clarity, of freedom, of ease and flow that we all connect to sometimes, especially when our thinking and feeling doesn't get in the way. So you can easily relate to what we speak about, and there is a huge potential depth in the simple principles we talk about. So how would you right now describe what we're talking about? Is it three principles, the three facts of life, or is it just the nature of human experience? Or how would you put that into words as we see it here now today?
I think I look at it from the nature of human experience, because we as human beings are very au fait with or very comfortable with understanding how our physical body works. But if we really take a step back and look at, well, how does our emotional life work? Most people will have things like, they'll put psychologies in there, or maybe beliefs or values and so forth in there. And all of that is relevant, and most people will have some experience of that. But what we're going back to and talking about is something that's fundamental to how a human being creates their experience. So if you just take a moment right now, wherever you are in the world, and you can be in any country, you can be in any location, I'm guessing, because you're human, and probably alive if you're listening to us, that you're having an experience. Now, I can't tell you what that experience is right now for you. So, meaning that there are probably 8 billion people on the planet right now having 8 billion different experiences. It's not really important what the experience is, in a way, even though it feels important sometimes to us, but it's more, or the invitation, it's more important to see how experience gets created.
So may I interrupt or ask?
Absolutely.
So yeah, with the word experience, like obviously you're either watching a video of us right now or you're listening to an audio tape about us. What's the word experience, what does that include for you? You hear our voices and you might see us on the screen if you watch a video version of this. But so you, the person listening experiences us, obviously, but what else is included in this experience?
Well, there is a lot included in our experience, but there's also a lot not included in our experience. So as a human being, we take in with all of the senses. So as you rightly point out, you probably hear us or see us. If you're in a room, I don't know, where somebody's baking a cake, you're probably smelling the cake in the oven. You might hear the hum of the engine in the car. If you're in a car, it might be raining outside, so you might be hearing the raindrops. So we do have senses that bring experience to us. But what happens is then we have thinking about our senses. So there is a very creative force, a very powerful creative force called thought, that if we never had a thought, we would never have an experience. Mm-hmm. So this creative force brings all of this information to us, you could say. Some people might say through the brain, but how I describe it is it brings it through us in thought, and then we have this awareness around us, and we live into this experience of both the thought and the awareness we have. If we didn't have this awareness, we would not be alive. If we didn't have the thought and the awareness, we would not be able to experience whether right now it's a little hot in the room that we're recording in, and right now I have the experience of heat.
Interestingly enough, I didn't experience any heat until the moment you said it. Because there was no thinking in my head about the room being warm, but once you mentioned it, I got a thought, yeah, it is, and now I can't stop thinking about it. Because it is a little warm in here. So it was the same room temperature all the time, right? But until I had the thought, oh yeah, it's warm in here, I didn't experience warmth. So it's an interesting little micro example of like, yeah, right, what we don't have a thought of doesn't show up in our awareness or our experience, right?
That's right.
What we have a lot of thinking about, it fills our experience if our awareness picks that up, and that becomes the experience. So do all people seeing this video experience us two in the same way?
Oh, I'm guessing not.
Of course not.
I'm guessing not. Each person's experience is a function of what they're thinking in the moment, how they're feeling about that. And that creates a frame or the experience that they're living into. So some people go, yeah, I love this. Some people go, what the hell are they talking about? Some people are going, what rubbish? Because that will be the thought that you have that's picked up by this awareness, and that gives us our experience of life. And the thing about this is we have in every moment, every now, some people call it a now, we have a moment-to-moment experience that changes flavor with our changing thoughts and changing feelings. So in one moment, I'm no longer hot, by the way. So in one moment, I'm feeling hot and I'm thinking about being hot, and so, oh, I think we should open the door. That's that experience. And now I have no thinking about being hot, and therefore I'm not feeling hot, and therefore my experience is not hot. So it's a shifting moment-to-moment experience that comes from this creative power of thought brought to life by our senses.
So let's sum this up, or I give my version of your speaking. So Fee and I know something about you that are watching this and experiencing us seeing this. We know that you have a heart in your body that's beating, because you're a human being, and biologically, if you can see us here, your heart is beating. You have lungs that pick up oxygen from the air, and that oxygen is pumped by the heart and the, you know, veins and arteries in the body that oxygenates your body. So biologically, we know with absolute certainty that if you see us here, your heart is beating and your lungs are picking up oxygen, right? That's just a biological fact. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, with regards to your psychology or your experience of us, we don't know how you're experiencing us, and we don't know what you're experiencing seeing us, but we know one fact that is as certain as your heart is beating, that psychologically we show up in your thoughts. If you have no thoughts of us, you wouldn't experience us, right? And that's what I love about this teaching. It is principle. It's not even principle-based. It points to principles.
Yeah.
Like there is this fact of human nature that our hearts are beating biologically, but psychologically we have thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And we forget that we have thoughts. We think our experience describes life objectively, but that's not how it works. How it works is there's always thought included when we experience anything. So we're speaking about principles or facts about human nature here, right?
Yeah.
You know this obviously inside out, but yeah, you're a thinking being. You are. I am. You are. We all are. Now, what's another step or next level about this fact of being human? Yeah, we are thinking creatures for sure. What else is worth to notice?
Well, I think if we're just looking at this part of the conversation, I think it's also key to understand that there's this creative potential. And this creative potential has an infinite possibility to create new thought in any moment. And how the system's designed is whatever we think. So if I think, oh, he's a nice guy, result, then we will always feel our thinking. So it means that I will have a feeling of maybe love or enjoyment or lightheartedness around you. So when I think, oh, what a lovely man, the feeling that I have is love and maybe gratitude. And that gives me my experience in that exact moment of love and gratitude.
Super. So when a thought occurs, there is also a feeling that occurs.
Yes.
Ah. So it's the experience of life is not kind of just facts and objects. Human beings feel life, right? We have a felt experience of life.
We have a felt experience. Well, we have, in one way, we have two different felt experiences. Mm-hmm. So we have a felt experience of our thinking. So whatever we think, we'll feel. It's like two sides of the same coin. And that will give our experience, moment-to-moment experience of life. So if I'm frustrated, I have a thought of frustration, I am frustrated, and that will be my experience. But below that kind of roller coaster of thought, feeling in the moment, there is a deeper feeling that, like a hum of life, of aliveness and energy, where we are already okay. And when we fall back into that space, it doesn't kind of matter if we're frustrated or irritated in the moment, even though it might have our attention, because below that, or you could say around all of that, there's an experience of I'm okay no matter what. And that's the unshakable part of us. That's the truth of who we are. That's the fullness of our being in the world. And it's more true than this moment-to-moment experience, even though our experience is how we go through life.
Cool. So you said the feelings we have, the immediate feelings moment-to-moment, are connected to our thinking. So you also said there is a creative potential that can alter what we are thinking, if I heard you right. So can you say a bit more about that creative potential and how thinking shifts and therefore the feeling shift?
Sure. So what I love about this, the principle of how we work as a human being, is we have this creative potential, which is an infinite potential. So what that is actually telling us is we can think anything in any moment. Whether it's something we've thought before or something we have never thought before, we have this creative potential to think. And I forgot your question.
No, cool. So we can think anything in any moment. It's not that you can only think this but not that, or that thinking is constant all the time, thinking shifts all the time.
Yes.
And then we repeat the same thought sometimes, but there is always the potential, the opportunity, the possibility for a new thought to come in.
Yes.
And therefore, with a new thought, there could also be a new feeling, right?
Absolutely. So if the thought and feeling are linked, and that gives us our experience. So let's say, I don't know, it's raining outside today. So my thinking or a thought that I have about that is, oh God, it's raining outside today. And I feel like, oh, really irritated. I don't have an umbrella. I have to go out, you know, have to walk the dog, whatever it is. So I have this whole feeling experience going on. Even in that same circumstance where it's still raining, I could go, oh, you know what? I love the rain. And it's just, it doesn't matter what's going on outside of us. the potential is with the creative potential of thought, we can have new thought in any moment about anything. So we're never stuck with a thought we don't like, you could say.
Yeah. Before we go into that deeper feeling on life, do you have any example or story from a client who woke up to the fact that he or she was just living in the feeling of their own thinking versus the feeling of a real world and some shift that happened? Or
yeah, this is an interesting client who I love very dearly, who works in Hollywood. And she had an experience when she was a young child of actually her parents moving to the US from an Eastern country. And she woke up one morning to find that her parents had gone. Now, she was still taken care of by her grandmother for a couple of years until her parents settled.
Oh, they gone, they kind of left.
They kind of left without...
And left her with her grandma.
Yeah, without telling her that they were going.
Oh, wow.
And from that moment in her life, she had this whole anxiety about being left by people.
Yeah.
And including that her own kids at this point, because she's now in her late 30s, early 40s, that her kids would feel abandoned at some point. So she used to sleep outside the kids' doors at nighttime so that they could know that she was there. So she lived in this whole state of anxiety. And that infused all of her life.
So and let me get this. She was so caught up in this repetitive thinking, unconsciously.
Yeah.
Yeah. That abandonment was a threat in life, right?
Yes.
So she slept outside her kids' doors. And this was, I think, a very successful individual professionally, right? And absolutely. Doing really well in life, but
yes.
Constantly returning back to this felt experience of like being abandoned or kids could suspect to be abandoned or all of that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So the conversation we started off with was the nature of thought. And she had a habit of thought that was anxiety. And what we looked at was, well, when we think an anxious thought, we're going to feel anxious. That's how the system works. It's like whatever you put in front of the projector of a, you know, if you put in a movie in front of a projector and it's a horror movie, well, that what's going to show on the screen is a horror movie. If we put in a rom-com in front of the projector, then what's going to be shown on the screen is a rom-com. It's that's how this system, the fundamental nature of being human is whatever we put in front of the projector or in front of consciousness or in front of awareness, we will have a felt experience of that. And that will be our experience. And that feels so real.
Yeah.
So what she was thinking was a lot of habits of thought around anxiety and then feeling anxious and then having that emotion in her body of anxiety and, you know, closed up neck and tense body, and that was her experience of life, and that's how she walked through life, not realizing that the potential is that when we have a new thought, she will have a completely different feeling and a completely different experience of life. Now, what we're pointing to is when we're in this kind of experience and this reality of anxiety or insecurity or lack of confidence or all of the kind of stuff that keeps us stuck. We're not saying it doesn't feel real. A feeling feels real. It absolutely does. It's like real in that sense. But we're never going to solve a feeling. We will never solve a feeling. But if we feel the feeling, what happens is the body goes, thank you, or there's the experience of just a passing through, and we give space for a new thought to come in that's new, fresh, different, alive. And then with that, we get a new feeling. So within, I would say, maybe two conversations with this client, she could recognize that she had a habit of thinking anxious thoughts, feeling anxious feelings, and that was her world, that was her reality. And there was no space in her thinking for anything else. So we looked at how is it that we can have infinite number of new thoughts in any moment, and looking back at the creative potential that can bring something new and fresh. And she started to experience something new and fresh, which was not anxiety. It was possibility. It was joy. It was hopefulness. Mm. And with a hopeful thought, she had a hopeful feeling and a hopeful experience. And I'm not saying that she never had an anxious thought again, because that's the thing about thoughts. Some thoughts do come back. But what happens is we have a different relationship to the thought when we know that they just pass through the system if we let them. You know, most thoughts that we have, if we let them pass through the system without kind of make meaning of them or make them important, will kind of last 5 to 10 seconds. And then something new and fresh comes out of this creative potential that we are. And a new thought that gives us a new feeling and a new experience in life. And we can live this way with such ease and grace, knowing that we're never stuck with a feeling, and neither are we stuck with a thought. There's an infinite number of thoughts waiting to be thought and feelings to be felt.
So what happened for her in her relationship to her kids and herself once she discovered this?
Well, everything changed because the kids had also felt suffocated. And she just loved them in the moment. And she had this freedom just to live her life and decide what it is that she wanted for herself without living in this constant fear and anxiety that had taken over her life for 40 years.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty and the power of this conversation. So when we see how we work, we don't get so caught up in, oh, this is a horrible thought and a horrible feeling, because we know in the next moment, something new and fresh will show up.
Cool. There's one or two more questions before we sum this up, I think. So I call them the facts, right? The fact is human beings have thinking. Another fact is that we feel what we think. So it's ultimately not that the anxiousness she felt was coming from earlier life experiences. The anxiousness as a grown-up, very successful woman came from her repeated thinking about anxious stuff, right? When that thinking started to lose its grip, a new experience arises. So there's the fact of thought, there's the fact that we feed our thinking. Now, you also pointed to something we can trust as much as our heart is beating and the lungs are bringing oxygen, and that we have thinking and that we feel our thinking. It's the domain of deeper feelings that we absolutely can rely on as a fact of life, I think, or if it's even feelings, there's this life qualities. Would you share something around what you can had seen about this, either with this woman or yourself or other people, that we can rely on something beyond fabricating good thoughts?
Yeah, I guess that's the other part of how the system works. So this is my favorite part of the conversation in one sense, because the thought-created experience is so real for so many human beings, but the deeper part is more intriguing to me. I don't even know where to start with it, because in one sense, when we get to just see and realize it, it's just like so profound, it's just your head can, I was going to say explode, but it doesn't.
I'll help you out, or I'll narrow down the scope. When people hear that, of course, I have lots of thinking and thinking can shift, and they hear now, I feel my thinking, so if I don't feel good, then if I can think better thoughts, I'll feel better, and they get trapped up, and we get trapped up, me too, in this mental, emotional domain of life where we try to improve within a very limited system. Yes. So we want to open the door to this deeper domain, which points to something that we can actually experience well-being in the midst of crazy thinking, feeling. We can be in an emotional storm, but we can experience well-being with the fact that we are truly upset. So what's this well-being part? Or?
So the beauty of being human, first of all, is the aliveness that we experience. And it's quite a digital thing in one sense, because when a baby's born, they come, they cry, and there is an aliveness to every human being. And then, of course, we get to the other end of life, and we transition out of this physical body into some other kind of energy that I certainly don't know that much about. But what we're actually talking about is a factory default setting that every human being comes to life with. And that may sound a little grand or grandiose, but if we go back to just the nature of being human, we come to life with an aliveness and energy that we can feel. You can call it a hum of life, you can call it anything you want. But what's cool about this factory default setting is it's got within it everything in one sense that we ever want and dream of. In the sense of, in this space, we are absolutely unconditional love. We are the love of the universe. We are the love of, if you're religious, the love of God. If you're not religious, the love of nature. We're also wise. We're also content and happy and joyful. In this space, we're also lighthearted and fun, which is kind of cool. In this space, we're also creative. We're the creative potential of the universe. From this space, we can create anything. And it's not like we're artists or musicians, all of us are writers, but we create, this is the creative potential where we can create our experience moment to moment. We can solve problems that look intractable to be solved because we're coming from this space which has got infinite answers. We're coming from a universal intelligence that runs the universe and us. And when we lean in and start to trust that my little brain can't solve this, but there is a space or an access inside of me that knows all of it, then we can lean in and look at that. So these deeper feelings, these deeper profound feelings of just feeling content and graceful and generous and loving are us in every moment beneath our roller coaster of thinking, if we were to say it like that. And when we access that space, we come to life with a different level of power and clarity and wisdom. And we're able to navigate life with a lot more ease and grace. And it's just a different kind of life. And it's not me or you. This is everybody. 8 billion plus people on this planet have this factory default, this divine intelligence, this freshness and energy and aliveness. It is who they are. It's just we get so clouded over with all the thoughts about who we think we are or who we should be or how we need to look or how life needs to look in order for us to live happily, we just tend to miss it. We miss this part of ourselves that is fully present and there for us every single moment of every single day, helping us to navigate and thrive in life.
Great. Do you have a final story example from your own experience of life when letting go of your busy-minded thinking and feeling and tapping into this inner wisdom was helpful for you?
I don't have a particular story, but you know something that happens to me every day.
Yeah, cool. Yes.
I was speaking with a client recently, and we were kind of just stuck in the conversation about something. And what was really interesting was I kept getting this kind of just nudge, this talk to her about Paris.
Paris. Yeah.
I was going, what? Talk to her about the Mona Lisa. And so I got into this conversation about a guide. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a guide who took us directly to the Mona Lisa so we could look at the Mona Lisa? And what I was really pointing to, isn't it useful to have a guide who can show us this part of our life so we can see it for ourselves rather than kind of having to muck through? Mm. And she went, how did you know? And I went, I love Paris, she said. I spent hours trying to find the Mona Lisa. I would have loved to have had a guide take me directly to the Mona Lisa. And what I'm pointing to here, guys, is not that I've got some access to divine intelligence that nobody has. What I'm saying is I trusted my wisdom and clarity in the moment to ask her about that. And she was like, how did you know that? But what we're talking about is we're having and can tap into this universal intelligence and wisdom that can help navigate life. It can help us navigate relationships. It can help us navigate our thinking. It can help us navigate things that we're stuck with, problems that we can't solve, relationships that are difficult, questions about should we do this or that. We spend so much time thinking about them, analyzing them, doing, you know, pros and cons lists, as opposed to we have a wisdom inside us that when it kicks in, we know. We know we should, or we know we shouldn't, or we know the time is right, or we know the time isn't right. And when we lean into that, life just becomes so easy. And it becomes, it helps us to thrive. It's there to help us to thrive and live a more full, engaged and loving life.
Great, thank you. So to sum this up, if you're listening to this, I think you recognize that as a human being, you have thinking going on. And sometimes you think a lot, sometimes you think less, but you have thoughts. You know that, right? We're saying that whatever you experience, your thinking is involved in that experience. I'm sure you also notice that you feel stuff in life as a human being, right? You recognize that. It's a simple fact. And if you look closer, I'm sure you will notice that your feeling actually mirrors your thinking. So when your thinking shifts, you suddenly feel differently without any external change. I'm quite sure you can catch that. And then to your last point, Fee, I'm pretty sure you also notice that sometimes in life, you get insights. You go this, aha, that's how we can solve this problem. Or, no, I shouldn't do that. Everybody says I should do it, but I'm saying no thank you to that opportunity because it doesn't feel right for me. It's not my aligned with my deeper feelings or wisdom. So you have this inner knowing or access to a deeper dimension of yourself that you also recognize. We're saying, I think, that the more clarity you get about these dynamics, you get less caught up in your thinking and feeling, and you can tap into this space of flow and clarity or intelligence, like you say, every day.
Yeah.
It is available because a new experience is available at any moment. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, it's been fun.
A lot of conversation around human experience and some different dynamics to it. We'll be back with more episodes, shorter episodes most every day here, and longer episodes occasionally, where we dive a bit deeper in some interesting topics about being human and about winning the game of life. Thanks for listening.